You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned into this episode of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, man?
I'm tired, but, I mean, what else is new?
Well, it's almost Christmas time.
Yes.
It's been a little while since we recorded.
It has been. We just had a lot happening and a lot of things just going on, unfortunately.
Pardon my language, but this time of the year is busy as heck.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. All right.
Sorry.
Okay,
can we bleep that? Do we have that on the...
No.
Can we do that in post?
I don't know how to edit, so...
Well, it's been busy as heck. There, I said it twice now. And over Thanksgiving, I played a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I've been playing. I bought a few games that were on sale. I did not spend any money on Black Friday, like, at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought I was going to, but... I don't know if it was just that, like, any of the deals didn't jump out to me, or if I was just like, I don't want to do anything. Which is also possibly it, because...
I just don't have that much money to spend.
Sure,
and
that too.
I have enough... I mean, I've said this a bunch of times on the podcast. I have enough to keep me busy for a long time in a bunch of different ways, on a bunch of different platforms. So,
right. Oh, yeah.
I have plenty to play. You know, and that's only talking about games. Like, I'm pretty content. Like, I'm set right now. I'm poor, but I'm set.
That's basically the subtitle of this show, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah.
We're poor, but we're fine. You know, whatever. Games are all right.
You know, we got... we're in the time of year, so what? It's December 10th?
9th. As of the day of recording.
December 9th. And, of course, this week, so the day after this goes up, will be the Game Awards. And it's got me thinking, of course, you know, what games do I like from this year? What soundtracks do I like? What everything, you know? And... Man, I haven't played anything from this year.
You haven't.
I've played Apex Legends.
That's it, basically.
That's basically it.
You played... Well, Destiny doesn't really count anymore, but yeah, Apex is pretty much the only
pretty
2019
much the only
release
thing.
I think you've played.
Yeah. Like, no kidding. Cadence of Hyrule, I'm looking at right now. I think that came out this year.
It did, yeah.
Cool. That's two games.
Great. Killing it.
But I sure do love my backlog. So I lie. I spent nothing on Black Friday except for a little bit of money on... Super on sale
How
games.
How dare you?
Yeah. Come at me.
Yeah.
The games I picked up, the one I care about the most, really the only one I care about, is called Heave Ho.
Yes.
I watched some coverage of that game. I'd never heard of it. It's a silly party game.
It is certainly silly.
Where it's fun and physics-y.
That's a way to describe it.
It's fun and physics-y. You are a puffball with two arms, and you can use the triggers on your Switch controller, for me, to... grab onto ledges, grab onto walls and stuff. And you use that to swing and climb either solo. I haven't even played the solo mode yet, but with friends in multiplayer. And you try to get from point A to point B, and it is ridiculous fun.
Yeah.
Fun to play, fun to watch. I played it both this past weekend with a bunch of friends, the room was split down the middle of people who play games and people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so three of us jumped on, played it, and the rest had a great time watching, even though they do not like games at
all. It's a really fun game to just watch, and especially watch people play, from what I've seen of it. I haven't actually gotten my hands on it yet. We should change that. I would love to play that sometime soon. But
heck yeah.
Yeah, like, it is just one of those games that is, like, it's so simple in... like what you're trying to do, and it's never really super complex, and like the mechanics are just basically spelled out for you of like, hey, just like you can grab and rotate, and you just have to make it all of your people to the end. But
yeah, it's like super straightforward.
The getting there is the hard part, because you're like coordinating a bunch of people, and it's essentially like playing four player co-op if you're like just trying to cross a bridge with like certain people, and you can like fling people. There's a fart button.
Yep.
That's cool.
You can point, you can't flip anybody off, but you can point and you can make, like happy and angry faces.
Great. Great.
It is, I probably knew this and forgot. I just saw it today when I was looking. It's a Devolver Digital title. Of course.
Oh, okay.
It is.
I didn't actually know that, but now it totally checks out. Yeah, that's kind of like right up their wheelhouse.
Yeah, so it's goofy, and your characters make just a bunch of ridiculous noises. The soundtrack is this like stumbly jazz, like the jazz I would describe in like,
I like that wording a lot,
with like a cartoon, like a character who's like tripping his way out of trouble.
So like they're like kind of, so do you ever play Sly Cooper?
No, but I'm familiar with
it. Okay, so like whenever you like sneak in Sly Cooper, it's got these like little piano notes that are like a dun 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 dun.
Oh, that's
dun,
good. Dun,
like is it kind of like that?
It doesn't. It's independent of your movements.
Okay.
Because I mean, at least you know, four player, you got four people going, right. But it has this constant momentum to it, and this silliness. All right. You know, it keeps the energy going as you're doing the stuff and you're laughing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very conducive to an energetic atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect party game, not just because of the mechanics, but because it's very spectator friendly. The first time I pulled it out was at my family's Christmas, and likewise, three of us jumped on and everybody else watched, and we had a fantastic time.
Awesome.
Just everybody shouting and laughing and stuff.
I don't want to bring Discord into this this wonderful podcast that we're doing, but that game came out this year. That is the third game from 2019 that you've played.
Oh, heck, dude.
So
that's one of the best three games. He's just stupefied.
He just like doesn't know what to do. I was talking to Nate the other day, my co-host on the NES pod, and we were talking. He was just like, oh, wow. Like, I was telling him you were playing God of War, which is really cool to, like, see you play through that game, having played it and, like, remembering, like, oh, shit, this game fucking rules.
It's really good.
And he's just like, oh, yeah, it's been out for a year, so legally Thomas can play it now. Which I think is fucking hilarious that that's, like, your brand.
Yep, yeah. If it ain't old or on sale, I'm not touching
it. And honestly, that's the way to do it.
Dude, like, I mean, the only reason I played Apex really was that it was free.
Sure.
It came out, it was free, and I was like, I guess I like a battle royale game now.
Yeah.
I'd never, you know, checked it out. So that broke the rules by accident. Yeah. So it is my brand.
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
Cool. So Heave Ho is great. I think I picked it up for like $12 or $15
that
or something.
That sounds about right.
Worth it. Highly recommend this game.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
No kidding. I think this is one of the best party games I've played.
Wow.
The whole year.
Wow.
I like Overcooked, but this has an energy to it, like a low stress energy.
Mm-hmm.
That like some of the puzzles, you have to do some work, especially so to paint you a picture, you get from point A to point B by climbing, swinging, doing all this stuff. But you have an optional coin you can grab. And, of course, if you grab the coin, your hand is full.
Yeah, because you have to constantly be holding onto the coin.
Yeah.
Which means you can't grab onto the wall with it.
No, and there are some things in... I don't know how the single player is going to go, but in the multiplayer, there are plenty of times where there are things you can only do with other people. Like, you can only reach this by swinging with two of you.
Gotcha.
By yourself, you're not going to get enough momentum. So it means that you've got to, like, figure out a way to either fling the coin and catch it, or to hold the coin and fling your whole chain of people and hope the person on the end grabs something.
Yeah.
And so it's great. So the first time I played it, we played through the basic levels. And that was with my family. The second time we played it, I was playing with people who game more often. So we more or less breezed. I say in air quotations, breezed through.
As much as you can through something like that.
Yeah. There was one round that took 4.5 minutes, and we would have sworn it was at least 10. Because, like, we would get so close to the end and then just eat it.
Yeah.
but it was very fun. So we unlocked a different area that's a cavern. So it's dark. You can only see around your character.
Oh,
so you can't see
that.
Any environment
fuck
until you're on it. It was super fun because you think you know where stuff is, and then you swing and you're like, oh, there's a spike there. But very cool. Really like that game. That game is called Heave Ho by Devolver Digital. I don't know who developed it. I should find that out. Hey, credits right here.
Hey.
Le Cartel.
Cool.
They developed it.
It seems cool.
It is cool. You should play it with me.
So I've been like kind of jumping back a little bit into like I've mostly just been playing Destiny 2 and Pokemon, which what else is new? Haven't really talked about Pokemon since because like I've obviously since beaten Pokemon because it's not super long. I like it a lot. I think it's definitely in like my favorite, like top half favorite of like all of the Pokemon games that I've played. It's definitely not my favorite, but I really like the presentation.
How many Pokemon games have you played? If we separate them out only by generational games, not
like Red and Ruby Blue and Sapphire. Yeah. Let's see here. I'd say 5 or 6 because okay. I didn't play X or Y, and I didn't play. I played Black and White, so that guy,
I played like 2.5 because Fiery Red is technically still Red.
Yeah, and that's really also technically like Generation 3. I guess I would, since there's 8 gen. Yeah, I missed out on really only 1 gen. Now that I'm thinking about it, because I touched everything except for like X and Y, and I played Sun and Moon. So yeah, so I like it a lot.
All right, well, resident expert there. I mean, you like. I mean, I half joke, but you've really played.
I like
you've
Pokemon
played
a whole
it
fucking
through.
Lot. Yeah, yeah. It's cool. I like the presentation is absolutely like the best it's been in the series. I think a lot of the stuff is really neat. The first time you're going through like the wild area, which is like their big, like actual open world area. That's like this big center part of the actual like Galar region that you're in. It was really cool to go through like for the first time where you can just run into Pokemon that will just fucking party wipe you. Like there are just, there are Pokemon just wandering around. And if you run into one that might chase you down, that is, and you just, if you might have Pokemon that are like level 25 and here comes this fucking like level 50 Steelix just ready to fuck up your shit. Like that can happen.
Is there an indication that they're strong before they get to you?
No.
They look the exact same.
Typically, like you can tell if you know like what the final evolution of a Pokemon is. And if it's big and not like in grass, if it's just like out in a pathway by itself, typically they're going to be stronger.
Classic. I learned that in WoW too. It's like, man, if y'all hanging out on the road, I'm not going that way.
Totally. It's kind of the same thing, and it kind of steers you away from the road to like go into the grass where there's a lot more just kind of like your level Pokemon. But they're also like segmented off by like it's really split into like two halves for the wild area, and like one half is kind of like the intro area, and the second half is like the other, like you get to it once you have to get to it to get to the final few towns. And yeah, it's very tough and unforgiving, and it is similar to Breath of the Wild in the way that it will let you go out of your way and just get fucking bodied. And once you actually beat, like once you become the champion, which every fucking Pokemon game ends, and that's not a spoiler. just throwing that out there.
You become the Pokemon master.
Right. Once you do that, like every single Pokemon, minimum level 60 in the wild area, like all of them just get brought up. So you don't have to like do a fuckload of training, even though that's like really advantageous. But the thing that's been interesting me the most is this is the first time that I'm actually like sort of serious about wanting to play competitive. It's always something that I've been like, yeah, that's really cool. And like, I like the Pokemon battling system. They've put a whole lot of thought and work into not just like a bunch of the items and what moves and Pokemon have made the return to like balance that stuff out, but also it's way more accessible than ever, which I'm really, really into. So for instance, if you have a Pokemon and Pokemon have different like natures, so it's like really their personalities, that's going to affect like which stat of theirs grows faster and which one grows like the slowest.
Mm-hmm.
So in previous games, if you wanted say like, and I don't know if this is like an actual build. I'm just thinking of the first nature and Pokemon that comes into my head. But if you want like a Trapinch with a modest nature, then you would have to constantly just like breed and hope that you got one. Now you can, once you beat the game at this like end game, essentially like hardcore battle thing that you can do, you can just buy these items that will just change the nature of a Pokemon.
And they're all called Lobotomy A, Lobotomy B.
They're actually just like mints that you feed the Pokemon, like just like little treats.
Is this ethical? Let's talk about this.
Here's the thing. Pokemon is just dogfighting. Like you're literally beating up children's pets and taking half their money. Like that's all Pokemon is.
You're right.
Honestly. But like also they've made it to where like, well, you don't have to like there's different. You can check like the range of like how quickly their stats grow, and they've made that a lot easier to check. And I don't want to get into the whole fucking EVs versus IVs, EV not as in Pokemon, but as in effort values. I'm not going to get into that here because it's a whole lot and that'll take up the whole fucking rest of the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
But essentially like they've made it easier for you to go through and like breed and train up a Pokemon that is competitive ready, to the point where even if your Pokemon doesn't have like a good stat, like bonus roll, like if it doesn't have good IVs to like raise those stats up the most efficient way that's like considered like perfect, you can like find these items called bottle caps and just give them to this guy, and then he will hyper train your Pokemon that just maxes out its IV.
Oh,
which is nice. So like any Pokemon can technically, you can, they've made it in a way, and they did this a little bit with Sun and Moon also, they've made it in a way that I've always wanted Pokemon to be, where you can just make a team of the Pokemon you like to use and like build something around your strengths, and you can pay attention to the meta and what teams are doing best right now.
Nah,
but you don't have to. Like they've made it to where, okay, maybe it's a little bit more unorthodox of a way of actually like going through and like building up that Pokemon, but it's taking away so much time and effort that is spent on that. Like back in Ruby and Sapphire, a friend of mine had a full, like, perfectly kitted out, like, full EV, IV, perfect, like, team that he built. And, like, EVs are just fucking a nightmare to get. Like,
actual EVs.
Like, no, like, the effort values. Okay. Sorry, I have to... That's a bad name for something.
It
but
is,
yeah.
It is.
So, like, you would have to, like, each a different individual Pokemon that you would fight would reward that Pokemon with certain effort values. So, if you wanted to get, like... And this is totally wrong because I don't actually really give a shit about EV training. But like, say you wanted to improve like your Pokemon stat speed the most efficient way possible, then you had to basically like have it fight a fuckload of like Caterpies or like a fuckload of like this individual Pokemon in order for it to get those effort values from fighting that Pokemon. So they've just
have they
made it a lot easier.
Have they come out and said in the game that that's how that stuff works? Or is that still stuff you have to look up online
it's
to be like, what is an EV?
They have definitely communicated that stuff better, but they don't show like exact numbers.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely better than it used to be. They recognize there's a big, like, competitive Pokemon is like a good portion of the people who play it. So I'm excited to like actually jump in because it's very accessible. I can have the Pokemon that I like. I was just like fucking around and like looking at a tier list. My favorite Pokemon is like super viable, which is kind of cool. But even if he wasn't, I'd still use him.
Yeah.
So
man, every once in a while there'll be a thing. I haven't seen one in a long time.
Yeah.
But it'll be, hey, everybody vote on your favorite Pokemon. Like just input your favorite Pokemon instead of being like, here's the, you know, pick from these 4 or 10 or something. And, every time, man, people only ever pick, like, the legendary strongest Pokemon.
Right.
I'm like, yo, there's so many cool Pokemon. I'm glad at least my boy Arcanine gets some love. People like him.
Yeah.
I'd say he's still probably my favorite Pokemon. My number two easy is Chincho. It's Lantern.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love that Pokemon.
It's an anglerfish.
Yeah,
that's
one of my
water
favorites.
And electric.
Totally.
And freaking, it's so cool. And everybody's like, eh, whatever. Is it strong? I'm like, I don't care if it was strong.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Totally.
It worked when I used it.
Yeah, but like that's always been my approach to Pokemon has been I want to just have a fun team and play the game and enjoy it and like get good at using the Pokemon that I enjoy using and like build a strategy around that, which is not like me at all for like any other game. So it's honestly just a testament for how much I fucking like Pokemon.
There's Pokemon Cam and Destiny Cam.
Oh, fuck. Basically, that's been my two dualities lately.
But in both of them, you gotta catch them all.
That's some real shit. Other than Pokemon, I've been playing... I hopped on Titanfall 2 last night.
Hitting my mic with my hat.
There were like 50,000 people playing last night. I was over the fucking moon.
Damn.
It was the first time I'd played in a while... And God, that game is still fucking good. Oh my God, that game fucking rules.
Can you play with me?
Yeah,
totally. Can we play?
Totally. Let's play Titanfall. I really want to like that game. Oh.
It has plenty of good things on it, but also when I have Apex, I get to take... Since I'm playing solo...
It's going to be very weird for you.
Well, it is. I mean, I've played Titanfall 2 for a brief time when it...
Yeah.
I don't know when that was. Like,
you bought it. I think it was like on
something.
Sale for like $7.
It goes on sale for
totally.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's dirt cheap all the time. So now it's free with PlayStation Plus. I want to like that game, I want to play that game with people I know.
Sure. We should totally do that.
We should. That game seems pretty rad.
It's so good. I also all of their cosmetics are super discounted right now, and they look really good. Like, honestly, better than some of the stuff that was in the first two seasons of Apex, which is a little hilarious, but...
They're
fine.
They're
but,
fine.
Like, I really like a lot of the stuff in Titanfall 2. But fuck, man, like, it's one of those games that just feels cool to play. Like, not just, like, how you're moving around, like, constantly wall jumping. Like, you can have, like, I think my pilot right now is, like, I'm using an SMG. Is the CAR in?
No.
In Apex? Okay. So... I have that, and then one of my perks that I have is to where I can sprint and fire at the same time, which is cool.
That's pretty rad.
And then, like, I'm wall running, I've got stim, so I'm just, like, fucking blazing around the thing.
I remember playing against a guy. A guy shot me. Well, I don't even know if this guy killed me, but I was playing in this, like, very indoor, if you know the Titanfall level, there's a a room where the whole wall is those projection screens that are inside.
Yes, yes, I know exactly what one you're talking about.
So there's like a corridor that's very tall but narrow in there. And he was wall running between the walls near the ceiling for like a full minute, just taking pot shots at me.
Totally.
And I could not land a bullet on that dude.
So the nice thing about the fact that it's free on PlayStation Plus right now is that the people who are playing it are not just the people who are really fucking good at Titanfall.
Yeah.
It's nice. Like, there are, instead of, like, typically you would see about, like, 5,000 people before it went free. Now you're getting, like, 35. The other night, I think this weekend, it hit, like, 95,000, which is just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so happy that people are still playing this game and, like, investing time into it. God, I love this game. And, like, it was fucking cool. Like, the moment I was like, oh, yeah, this game is fucking rad last night was when I just... playing my boy Papa Scorch, you know? Papa Scorch. Just fucking getting up in somebody's face with my flame shield, just like melting them down, and then doing the fucking sick prime finisher that he has that is just so cool. Ah, that game's good.
Dude,
everybody, if
I
you have
feel,
PlayStation Plus, please fucking download and play that game. You deserve it.
I feel like when I am in infantry mode, I am okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. I feel like I can... my favorite thing to do, honestly, is just to attack Titans.
It's fun.
It's my favorite thing.
It is a lot of fun. I use the... I fluctuate between, like, the charge rifle and the magnetic grenade launcher. I forget what they're called.
Yeah, the charge rifle's real good.
Charge rifle's rad.
I like doing that. When I hop into a mech, I'm just like, oh, no, I'm going to die. And I do. I do every time.
Yeah,
I'm just there's somebody already on my mech.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to
I'm
get
on fire.
Used to it. And maybe, like, if that's something you're wanting to learn, I would recommend Last Titan Standing. Just because it is literally you are in the Titans
all the time.
Yeah. And if like you get out of your Titan, cool. But Titan kills are the only thing that counts for your team's lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's a really good way to like learn. You are like pitted against other Titans. You have to learn how to play against them.
Well, I like that. And I played like the Horde mode.
Oh, Frontier Defense is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun. I played one game on like medium and we did fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lobby I was in. I forget how the lobbies work, but I just stayed in the lobby or somebody invited me or something. And we did the same thing, except he bumped it up to like nightmare difficulty.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah.
And,
ridiculous.
You know, me, this is literally my second game in this mode. I just didn't say anything, even though I had a mic. And we got most of the way into it. And one of the guys was like, hey, what? Oh, no. I got on there. I was like, yo, why am I out of ammo?
Yeah.
Like, I've used this weapon for so many games. I've never run out of ammo. What's the problem? And I think his answer was like, your mech has to deal damage and it recharges your weapon or something like that.
It's a lot.
And, well, so whatever it was, he answered the question and he was like, how do you not know that? And I was like, this is like my second game of Titanfall. And he's like, why didn't you tell me that before I queued you up for the hardest mode? I was like, I like a challenge. And he's like, all right, man, let's do it. And we almost beat it. We got to the final wave.
I mean, honestly,
wave,
at least he wasn't just like, get the fuck out. He was just like, all right, man, respect the dedication.
He was a little kid, too, and so he was just like, oh.
All right, let's
do it. I'll teach you how to play. And,
great,
and he kind of helped
awesome.
Me out. So
fuck
that was nice, yeah. Sometimes little kids are almost better strangers than adults.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a good game. Titanfall 2. Love it to death. Also fucked down, fucked around a little bit with.
What was that?
Also fucked around here with a little bit of a JRPG that came out on the PlayStation 2 that I have on my PS4 that
smoking
I keep going
hot.
Back to. It was actually our friend Laura. I hung out with her and her boyfriend, and we just played it like all night because turns out him and I just love the shit out of this game, and like not a lot of people know about it. Like I was like really drunk one night and saw him look at the cover art on his phone. I'm like, hold the fuck on.
And it's
Dark Cloud 2.
Final Fantasy. Oh, what were you saying?
Dark Cloud 2. it's an old RPG by Level 5, who went on to do like Ni No Kuni and a bunch of stuff like that. It's really interesting. It's like this like third person, like very kind of deliberate. It's almost like the combat feels weirdly soulsy, but like not in terms of like everything feels good deliberate. It just feels deliberate. Like the combat's not great. You essentially like there's two characters. One of them has a wrench. One of them has a gun and a gun. That's your two weapons. So you have like one in one arm, one in
the
other.
How does he reload?
But
does he knock his wrench against
them? I'm getting there. So, and like the other person has a sword and like a magic armband that you can use to like shoot magic shots or whatever. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. It's famously won best fishing minigame and won a challenge mode episode that you should all go listen to because that was a lot of fun to record.
That was.
So basically like the whole point of it is like there's this dude who is evil that is fucking up the present by he went to the past and just started fucking just ripping shit apart to like get rid of all of his enemies so he could like overthrow the world or whatever. And so like you are basically playing through this game as these two characters, and about like a third of it is just like dungeon crawling RPG stuff. It's got like super deep mechanics where every single item that you can get in the game has like an elemental alignment of like one of like 12, and you can basically just tear it down into like that pure essence for that item, and then you feed it into your weapon to actually upgrade it.
It sounds like you're describing Pokemon except with weapons.
Not really, because like the way I
all right, there are 12 types, and if you break it down to its base parts the guy with the bottle caps,
so here's
he'll
the
upgrade
thing.
It.
Here's the thing. So like, there are like elemental weaknesses and stuff like that, but they're not like as like televised or telegraphed as like a Pokemon.
Fire
would be.
Beats water.
Yeah, there's like stuff like that, but really, what you want to do is like it allows you to kit your weapons. You can basically build out your weapons how you want them to work. So for instance, you can have like your guns are typically pistols and they don't really do a whole lot of damage, but if you want to, you can invest time into I think it's called smash element or whatever, and if you do that, then suddenly that thing is doing like regular damage against like rank and file enemies, but if something has like super heavy armor, it is just fucking destroying it. Or you can make everything do like fire elemental damage or like shock damage, wind damage, stuff like that. It's like really, really neat in how you can do that. And every single item has some sort of element. Another third of it is like a photography game where you basically go around and take pictures of things in the world where you can like basically you take those pictures and your character is like an inventor. He's like this engineer inventor kid. And you take those pictures and then you turn them into ideas. So if you like take a picture, like the first thing you build is you need to build a fuel canister for this giant robot that you have. And so you find, okay, well, I need a pipe. I need a milk can and I need a belt. So you go and take a picture of all of those three things. He thinks of the invention in his head. And then that suddenly becomes like a craftable recipe for you to make that item in game. Which is a really neat thing. I really liked that a whole lot. So I was just constantly running around taking pictures of absolutely fucking everything because you never know what you need. And then the other third of it is like kind of Sim City, where you're going through
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot to this game. I'm not even going to talk about the fishing minigame because I've talked about that enough. But you go through, and as you progress through these dungeons, you get these things called Geostones, which are like blueprints, and you're essentially understanding what went wrong in the future by him going to the past to like fuck everything up. So you're rebuilding the present so that you can save the future to fight this guy in the future to beat him, if that makes sense. So you're like going
through, now you're talking about God of War
kind of. Yeah, so you're going through and like, say you need to, like, the first one that you actually, like, do that stuff with is there's this great tree spirit. So, like, okay, well, you have to have this many tiles of river here, and they have to feed into this big water bank, and you have to have this house that has, like, a water wheel that's cycling water, and, oh, well, if you want this shop in the future open, then you need to have this person in this house that has this stuff on the house. Like, it's very, it's cool in a way that you can build out each settlement how you want to. But it's more about, like, putting a puzzle together, and it, like, gives you freedom for how you want to set it up rather than just being like, do whatever you want and everything's fine. You have to, like, actually have these certain things. Like, if you want the big tree person to grow, you have to have the gardener living there. Something like that.
That sounds great.
It's a good game.
I'm really into, I'm especially into, like, the settlement stuff.
Totally. Yeah. And it's a lot of games.
That's so fascinating.
It is.
To have that, like, in the same game as all this other stuff.
Totally. It was kind of at a time where I remember, like, the time in my life where I played it was the same time as, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 and Final Fantasy 10 and Dragon Quest 8, which are just fucking packed to the brim of shit to do. That was, like, in my opinion, like, that was, like, kind of my golden age of JRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they put out Dark Cloud 1 and 2 as part of, like, the PS2 on PS4 thing, where they, like, took some PS2 games, nowhere near as many as they fucking should have, and, like, gave them, like, a slight graphical uphaul and gave them trophies, and then just released them on PSN for, like, $15. Yeah. I bought it immediately, and I've just been kind of, like, picking my way through it. But yeah, the game's great. If it's really long, it's definitely a PS2 game, which is a bummer in some ways.
Yeah,
but I'm really enjoying it, and that's really kind of what I've been playing.
Did you play it on PS4? I mean,
PS2? I played it on PS2, so I originally beat it whenever I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I fucking love this game. It's really great. So then I bought it, and I'm like, I'm loving it. It's a great game. It's
well, but I'm asking, is it a re-release for PS4? Just a port?
Yeah, it's just a straight up port where they added trophies.
Cool.
That's all it is.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, they did the same with, like, the Jak and Daxter games and a couple mm-hmm. of other things too. So it's cool. I think it's like $15. It goes on sale all the time. If that seems like your bag, it's a long game. Another 100-hour JRPG. But
and that's Dark Cloud 2?
Dark Cloud 2 by Level 5 Entertainment. Some of the most relaxing and memorable music I've ever heard, but there's not a whole lot of variety in the music, so you're going to hear the same shit over and over again.
I listened to Chrono Trigger. It was something, I can see the picture in my head of the Spotify, like,
yeah,
somebody's got red hair. Red Dragon Ball Z looking hair.
That's Chrono Trigger, I think.
Okay, I think it's Chrono
Trigger. I haven't
played
Chrono Trigger, but
there are a few tracks, I'm like, it's pretty good. And then I kept listening, I'm like, oh, these are all, I get it. Like, I think I've heard the whole thing now. Like, I'm good. I've listened to about 5 songs, and there are, like, 20 tracks on here, and I think they're all the same 5 songs.
There are there are a lot of people out there who fucking love that soundtrack.
It is a really good soundtrack, so maybe we got to cut this. Do you want to take a quick break, and then
yeah, let's do it. We're about half an hour, so we'll do that and just come back and keep doing the video game thing. Hello, welcome back. So I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of games that I really want to play that, like, flew under, I'm going to go ahead and say, most everybody's radar. They're pretty niche titles that I've seen a fair amount of gameplay of, and I think they might just be 100% my bullshit, and I'm going to kind of shout them out. I'm very excited to get to playing them. I might actually start that up this week. One of them is a game on Steam called Hypnospace Outlaw. I don't know if you've heard of this, Thomas.
Tell me more.
It's a cool fucking name, right?
Hypnospace Outlaw. Were you and I just talking about this off mic?
We maybe were.
Somebody, that sounds just goofy enough.
So, I'll read you the Steam.
Not the one who told me about this game, then when I heard the name, I thought, it sounds like a cam game.
So, I'll read you the description. Hypnospace Outlaw is a 90s internet simulator in which you scour Hypnospace's wide variety of weird and wonderful websites to hunt down wrongdoers, while also keeping an eye on your inbox, avoiding viruses and adware, and downloading a plethora of apps that may or may not be useful. As part of your job as a Hypnospace enforcer, you'll be watching out for copyright infringement, internet bullying, and more, with reports and rewards coming direct from the Hypnospace Patrol Department to your inbox. In your spare time, you can customize your Hypno-S desktop however you see fit, with a variety of downloads, wallpaper, screen. Yeah. So basically, like, you are this, like, kind of cool internet detective in, like, this world where essentially like the internet. It's like this kind of like alternate universe where the internet is something that you can browse while you sleep. Everything looks just like GeoCities, or mm-hmm. like just kind of like that. Whenever you, like, if you say the phrase shitty web design, something just pops into your head.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
Oh,
and like,
so it's your stream.
It's my stream. Yeah. Everything has like this cool, like flair and character to it. All of the websites genuinely feel like somebody like put time in like some sort of shitty 90s web builder to like mm-hmm. actually make that happen. Like it's all
Netscape
very
Navigator.
It's all very like Adobe Dreamweaver kind of a looking thing. You can download like MP3s from like songs, and I think they had like a bunch of guest artists, like my fucking boy Lemon Demon. It has some like tracks on there, which is fucking awesome. Yeah, like there's a lot of like cool digging. They just released this update where people can mod and add their own Hypnospace sites. So I feel like now is probably a fucking great time to jump in. It's this cool, like, neat mix between, like, a point-and-click adventure game and also a... I think there's, like, some actual, like, mystery elements of, like, there's, like, some stuff that you can unravel and, like, go as deep as you really want to in it. It seems very fucking cool. I'm really interested in that. I'm obviously would be playing that on PC because I don't think that would make sense anywhere else, but it just seems so neat and different and just whimsical and full of character in a way that like not a lot of games have really just kind of grabbed me lately in that same regard, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Another one.
And that's Hypnotoad, yes. Space Cowboy.
Sure. That's correct. Hypnospace Outlaw.
Hypnospace Outlaw.
Another one, I actually watched my friend Nate stream a good portion of this, is called Disc Creatures. It's Pokemon.
Hmm.
That's it. So it's somebody basically...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay.
Yes.
Disc Creatures.
Yes.
Disc Creatures. Like discrete creatures. Like sure. Pocket Monsters.
Totally. Like it's very much that.
No. I mean... It's wordplay.
Yes.
Discrete creatures.
Yeah.
That better have been on purpose.
I would hope so. Let me pull up
the
Steam.
Well, I'm just
going
to assume it is because that it has to be. If it's not, I'll give it credit for him anyway.
Disc creatures.
That's a new game?
Yeah. It came out October, actually. So I watched my friend Nate play a good portion of it. It seems really cool. It has like a visual style, not akin, like very similar to Pokemon Gold and Silver. Like those old school, like Game Boy Color Pokemon games. Like it looks just like that. Everything's like black and white. I think there's like color that you can have on there. I'm showing you the screenshot that obviously people can't see.
Hey, it looks like Pokemon.
It looks like Pokemon. And it's basically you've got like they've spent a lot of time going through and like cleaning up like a bunch of battle mechanics to make something that feels actually pretty different from Pokemon. Like there's like three on, like all of the fights are. Like you have a bunch of monsters, like three out at the same time, and you fight them kind of like a Digimon World 2. If like the five people who play that understand that.
Was it on the Vita?
It was on the PlayStation 1.
Oh,
yeah. It's got this like cool charm. It reminds me a whole lot of Undertale in a way that game. It's really neat in how it subverted my expectations when I was watching him play it, in that you kind of get around to, you expect it to feel very like positive and happy-go-lucky, and there are monsters in this game that just fucking kill and eat children.
Oh, dang.
And I'm like, fuck.
Oh,
like it gets like weirdly dark. Like you get surrounded by monsters at one point and they're just like, we're gonna fucking kill you. Like you need to get the fuck out of here or we will just, you will stop existing. Or there's like a point where there's this one monster that is just like so powerful that it's just like it's like essentially bullying people into submission and like threatening their lives and their livelihoods, and like you basically talk to, like you're escorted out by its assistant, and it's like, hey,
by its assistant,
yeah, like it's essentially like a king or like a Jabba the Hutt style thing. Like it's very much like that, and it's like, hey, if you know what's good for you, you need to leave. I'm saying this sincerely. He will fuck you up. Like,
he's,
and I'm like,
he's the boogeyman.
Totally. And it's like really cool. Like there's like stakes a whole lot. Everything seems very neat. The monster designs are really cool and clever. They're very silly in the way that Pokemon is silly, where like, yeah, this one's an onion. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, it's an onion. He looks fucking sick. I love it. Yeah, like those two games really jumped out to me. It's just like, oh man, like I don't really play games on PC really ever. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, I should fucking pick these up. These seem like really, really rad. Another one is like Disco Elysium, which a lot of people have been talking about, which seems very, very, very cool and very up my alley. Is there anything that's like kind of jumped out to you this year at all? It's like, oh, I might play that, you know, once my legally mandated year has passed.
So I actually wish I could sit on the couch next to someone else who was playing Disco Elysium.
Yeah.
Because I'm totally interested in that game. I am not interested in how long it's going to take to complete.
Sure.
Because I know that I'm going to really enjoy it, and I'm going to set it down for a really long time and forget about it.
Sure, yeah.
Because I just know how I play stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to matter how much I like the game, because everything I've heard about it, I'm like, man, I'm in. I'm into the different decisions and the RPG mechanics and the question, you know, the writing, for better or for worse. I'm into all that. It's just that it's going to take long enough to beat, and I have real trouble sticking games through and beating them in one good stretch. And I think that's a game that deserves being beaten in a decent stretch.
Like, not like sit down and play all of it at once, because no, that's unviable. But like
even God of War.
This is my game for the month. I'm going to sit down and play Disco Elysium.
Or even for a year. Like,
sure.
I love God of War, and I could talk about it here in a minute, but really like that. And I set it down for like 6 months.
Yeah.
You know?
You did.
For no good reason. I just did.
And then you just picked it back up. I picked it back up
and I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
It's a good
Why
game,
did I ever stop
out.
Playing
yeah.
this? And even Super Mario Odyssey is the same way. Mm-hmm. Why haven't I beaten that game yet? I don't know.
Sure.
You know, it's not like I don't have time.
Yeah.
And it's not like I don't like it enough. So yeah, I really am interested in Disco Elysium.
Yeah, same.
I just would love to be able to talk things through next to someone who is actually playing it.
Mm.
I think I would be interested in watching a playthrough of that game, but I would have to see an archive of it, because I wouldn't be able to watch a streamer. I wouldn't be able to watch it live.
Right, right.
Because it's not practical for me. But yeah, I would say Disco Elysium is one of my... it's in my like top five most interesting titles this year.
Yeah, just the discussions I have heard around it, I'm like, yeah, that seems pretty fucking awesome. I'm not even a fan of like old CRPGs, but just how much kind of depth is in that game is really interesting to me.
Yeah, and you kind of see, you know, the through thread of like a game like that, the game you described disc creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they intentionally take an older genre or an older style,
right? Right.
And mix it up and polish it a little bit. And there's really a big appeal to that stuff. On the other hand, you've got like Age of Empires 2 is having a remaster.
Yeah, they just straight up are like remaking it, I think.
Yeah.
Or it's like an HD remake or something like that.
Yeah. It's mostly the same game with some polish on it.
Right, right.
So that's unique, because like it's the same vein as what we're talking about. But with that game, the game itself has already been made. And either you like it or you don't.
Sure.
And I have
sure.
opinions on if RTSs are still a modern thing or if that's a thing of the past. But it's nice to see like an old computer RPG be new, to see a brand new IP that takes those old tabletop elements, basically, and really fleshes them out in a way that modern RPGs don't very often.
And have like such kind of overwhelming critical success doing it. Like everybody I've seen talk about like that plays Disco Elysium is like, this game's fucking awesome. Like they're like, you should totally fucking play it. And I was like, yeah, I probably should fucking play this.
It seems like, you know, this is kind of my personal opinion, but I think it's like a reader or a podcaster's game, because it's just filled. It's filled to the brim.
Yeah.
With,
yeah. I could totally see that. Like somebody who wants to be like, it seems like a good game that is like good for those like water cooler discussions where you maybe are like playing it with a friend of yours who is like, oh, well, I did this thing and this is like where our paths maybe split, or like this thing didn't happen the same way. I did that a whole fucking lot when I was playing through the Mass Effect trilogy for the first time, because the only reason I actually did was because my boss at the time at my job in college was just like, Mass Effect is my favorite game series of all time, and you haven't played it? What the fuck? And I'm like, I'm sorry,
you're
dude.
You're fired if you don't beat
I'm
it.
I'm sorry, dude. And I'm like, I'm going to sit down one summer, and I'm just going to play through the entire series. And I did, and it was fucking great. I love those
really
games.
Really great.
But it was really cool to be like, yeah, so I like went and did this mission with this person. You know, I survived the suicide mission in 2 without killing anybody. Just brush my shoulder here real quick.
Yep.
yeah, like it's fun to have games like that that have those kind of deep branching like narratives, but this seems like kind of in an extreme, but would be more of what I want, in that it's like kind of the game goes off on a bunch of different branching paths depending how you play it, as opposed to like it has more depth than it's hard to describe because
Each person can have their own experience.
Sure.
There's plenty of game to enjoy, but it's both deep and wide.
Yes.
Right. So it's both deep and wide, and your experience is going to affect what happens in the game. And so I can't attest because I don't know what the end of that game looks like. I don't know how much your decisions affect the last stretch of that game.
Right.
I don't know how that varies between different players. But it sounds like the whole, you know, the journey, at least, regardless of the end, the journey would be a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's the game Forager that I talked about ages ago. Friend Jeremy showed to me. That's a game where it's like a farming thing, right? So you're on this little island, you collect resources, eventually you get enough experience, and you get a skill point.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick your skill point wherever you want, and it unlocks, you know, it's like a grid.
Yeah.
So it allows you to see the surrounding grid blocks with the skills that you can spend a point on next time. And it means that in some areas, like to get a specific skill, you have to somehow reach it on the grid. And there are different ways that you can reach it. And if you're a first timer, you just go for whatever looks cool, right? But Jeremy, who showed me the game, he found out that he works in a bunch of nerds, is what it comes down to. And he found out that multiple people were playing this game at the same time. So their water cooler talk was figuring out like what was their build, you know, like they all, you know, you start from the beginning. Oh, I found this weird way to sidestep this main mechanic because I used this obscure thing over here. I found a way to make it sustainable. And it was exciting to hear him talk about how each of them just had totally different paths of like how they like to play these games and different things they saw within it. And even Lizzie and I are playing Stardew Valley, which is not a decision-making game.
Yeah.
But
it's
the
more
idea
of like, I don't know what to plant.
Well,
it's deeper than that. Yeah.
You wake up in the morning in Stardew and what do? Do you go talk to villagers? Do you sell stuff?
Right.
Do you do your crops? Do you go to the mine? Do you go fishing? Do you forage? So any day you can wake up and do a bunch of different stuff. And there are plenty of days in the year, you know, there's technically no time limit to anything. But each day is a fresh start.
Mm.
And so Lizzie and I play, my girlfriend and I play very differently. And this is each of our second playthrough now. So having the knowledge of our first playthrough, now we're playing more intentionally.
Sure.
Like deliberately.
Totally.
So now it's, again, very interesting to see how each of us is unlocking new stuff that we still have never seen before, but we're both playing again.
Right.
Totally
right.
Differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's so fun to talk about because there's enough game there that even though it's a totally, well, for us on mobile, it's a totally single player game. We're still able to share it. You know, it's still something we can share our experiences and find, you know, entertainment just out of the conversation.
Totally.
Of, oh, you saw this? Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. I had just an absolute blast. Honestly, doing that with Pokemon like this time around, or like I'm really looking forward to doing that with Animal Crossing next year, of just like, hey, like what did you find in your town, what did this other townsperson give you, like just fun stuff like that. I love that shit. It's so cool. Quarter one 2020 is gonna fucking kill me. Thomas,
quarter one through four are gonna be lit.
Oh my god.
And
like,
really,
I am trying to do a thing where I'm intentionally going to be like, I'm going to make an effort to play a bunch of smaller games next year,
because
like already, I mean, I'm still going to, I have pre-ordered the most expensive edition of Persona 5 Royal, which is only like $80, which kind of surprised me. Like, real talk.
Okay.
Like,
talk to me. What is that? Okay. What does that entail?
It's Persona 5 Royal, comes with an art book, CD, a bunch of other things, bunch of digital stuff.
Just checks out.
It also comes with a Joker mask, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. Like, I'm super for that. But I mean, I was hoping it was going to be a vinyl record, but I mean, I already have that on vinyl. So, you know, I guess I don't fucking need it.
I was hoping for number two.
Right.
I was hoping they'd give me the gold-plated one.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like, I'm really excited to play a bunch of smaller stuff next year, and honestly for the rest of the year, because like Destiny's obviously going to keep me busy and Pokemon's going to keep me busy, but whenever I don't want to play those, I kind of want to get into like a bunch of stuff that's just kind of flown under the radar, because I think this year was the year where like, all right, man, AAA stuff is just kind of starting to wear on me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I played a whole lot of AAA stuff this year, like Division 2 didn't really stick with me. I played Devil May Cry 5, which I love, but like a lot of like high production quality, like big, like stuff you can tell where there was just a fuckload of money invested into it. It's just, I don't know. There's something to be said about just some little small game that you can just play and enjoy and then have that cool experience. And then you're just kind of on your way. And I'm kind of really excited to dig more into that stuff.
Yeah. I think my goal, I'm doing a decent job of knocking out this backlog I have, which is all quality stuff. There's nothing I'm playing because I feel obligated to play it.
Sure.
But there's stuff that I've set down that I want to see through because it's great.
Right.
And you know, I don't want it to end on one hand, but also I want to see how it ends. So when I finish this, you know, my backlog that I already own right now, I think my goal is moving forward, I want to play more new games, but I'm not that interested in playing anything that's over like 20, 25 hours, because there are plenty of games that fit that criteria that will mitigate my inability to finish long games.
Totally.
Regardless of quality. So I think I want to check out more, not even necessarily indie games. I mean, I think Outer Worlds is like 25 hours long, 20 hours long.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Something like that. 30-ish.
So, cool. That's just right. Like, that's my upper limit, I would say. I would like to play more short and sweet games that are doing something different than your traditional,
totally
beautiful,
totally get that.
AAA.
Not that there's anything wrong with those. Like, I do want to stress that point.
I want to make a better habit of playing games that are more relevant. Because I love talking totally about video games that. And yeah. People are like, what are you playing? I'm like, the smash hit from 2013, Bastion, you know?
I mean, that's a good fucking game.
It is a good game. So, I just want to be able to have my finger on the pulse little bit more because I know what I like. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of good stuff. I just get hung up on my backlog.
Totally.
Which is also quality. But
yeah.
Well, speaking of that, my God of War minute is...
Okay.
You've been around. You've watched me play that.
Yeah.
So, God of War, wow, that game is really good.
It's really good.
I thought it was really good before, and I hit a spot, no spoilers, where the game really opened up.
Yes, it does.
And I didn't realize it needed any more opening up.
Same. That point that you're talking about, I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, sure. Like, it felt earned.
Dude,
in a way that I just didn't expect it.
That God of War is not the game to make assumptions on because
totally.
I'm not going to say specifically how it subverted my expectations, but twice I was very sure of a specific thing and both times LOL
totally.
Just threw it out the window and it was like, oh, you thought we were done? Get back
totally,
here.
Totally, yeah.
And so it was great. So both times, I mean, I had a big ass grin on my face. The other night I was up way too late. Because, you know, it was one of those things like, well, I'm going to go back to this area and save, you know, but I did
that's
just...
That's how it starts.
I did just unlock this door, so I'm going to see what's through this door. And then fast forward like 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. and I did not want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I just wanted to keep playing.
I've been there. I play Destiny. I get it.
I'm really happy with that game.
Yeah. I'm happy you're enjoying it. It's great. That's very good.
It really is great. Yes, with that, Heave Ho, I
some
bought some
Some
like,
would call God of War 2018's game of the year.
It's really good.
It's very good. I was very happy that it won.
That's good. I talked about Heave Ho already. I picked up like three games that I haven't even heard of, but they were so cheap and they're party games. Let me look at what they're called, even though I can't vouch for their.
Okay, great.
This one's called Watermelon Party.
I don't like the sound of that.
I know everyone, including me, has said that.
God.
And the other one is Quest for the Golden Duck.
Okay. All right. That sounds better.
It's a four. They're both four-player games.
Sure.
But then I also picked up Gone Home and Thumper.
Okay. Thumper is fucking awesome.
They were both super on sale.
I have not played Gone Home, but I would like to.
I'm glad.
I think I have it on PlayStation, actually. It was free on PlayStation.
I'm glad that they're available on Switch, because that's a more bite-sized thing. Like, I feel like Gone Home is the kind of thing, I want to be under a blanket, on my couch, on my back, with the Switch held above my head.
Right.
And I'm playing this game just comfy as hell.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
That's exactly how I want to play that game. So, I'm into that. My girlfriend and I have both gotten back into Skyrim.
Yes.
But she's kicking ass on her PlayStation character, which is fun, because even after all the hours both of us have put into that over the years, I'm still seeing so many new things. I've never touched the Dark Brotherhood in any Elder Scrolls game.
Oh, it's like the best part.
Man, it's pretty cool.
The best part.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, man. The Dark Brotherhood quest from Questline from Oblivion may be one of my favorite side quests ever.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oblivion's a good game. Skyrim's a good game. So I've been watching her do that, but I bought Skyrim in VR a little while ago. It's cool in a lot of ways, and it definitely has rekindled my spark for Elder Scrolls.
Sure.
The drawback is I have an HTC Vive, like the OG model, the first vanilla model, and I know so little about computers that when I have a hardware issue or a software issue, I don't really know what my problem is.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's broken.
Well, especially with hardware. When I first tried to play Apex, I was like, this is unplayable. This looks like an N64 game. And my friend was like, there's something wrong. Like... He's like, get on Discord with me. I'm going to walk you through it. Well, what it turned out was I have this good video card that I bought for VR, and I had plugged my monitor into my integrated...
Like your onboard card. Yeah.
Card.
Awesome.
And it just couldn't handle it at all, but I had no idea what I was doing wrong.
Oh, that rules.
So as soon as I switched it over, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is a world of difference.
Yeah.
So the issue is, if I'm playing Skyrim, if you're watching what I'm seeing on the monitor... Everything looks great. Looks like normal Skyrim. Good stuff. But on the headset, stuff that's close to you, you can focus on. But if it's more like in the game, if it's more than like 20 or 30 yards away, everything is so blurry. You can see that there are mountains over there, but you can't really see them.
Sure. You can just kind of tell a rough shape of it's mountain-esque.
Yeah. When you're in Whiterun and you walk out of Dragon's Reach and you're looking down over the city, you can't get a good view of any of the city.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
It's a real bummer. So, because I was, there's, without spoiling it, there's a big area, I'll just say.
Great.
That you discover through the main storyline. And Lizzie has not discovered that. And so I was like, hey, say, on your PlayStation save, don't do the main quest. Let's do it together on this one so you can see it. But I'm like, the whole point is that it's supposed to look expansive and cool.
Yeah, and if it's not that,
and if you
no
can't
point.
See that, there's no point to that. So the game is cool. It feels awesome to be able to shoot fire out of my hands, wherever I point my hands.
That is good. That is pretty good.
And swinging your sword, especially when you're doing a power attack or something, or the bow and arrow. The bow and arrow feels great because you're actually aiming that shit.
That's cool.
So that stuff's all really cool. I just wish it looked better.
Yeah.
I think everything's plugged in to the right spot now because I've checked. I think my only option is I'd have to buy the professional Vive, which is $1,000.
I mean, you also I've heard from a fair amount of people that Skyrim VR just kind of looks bad.
It might,
I think that's kind of what
it
is.
Stinks. It probably is.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what it is, just because having that higher fidelity is a lot harder to do in VR. But
For sure.
I'm not a developer. I can't really comment or say anything.
Yeah,
really,
but also
on that,
it's a game that was ported to VR. So
the game came out in 2011. So,
oh, jeez.
You know.
Yeah. Well, 8 years old, and I'm. Anyway, next year I'm going to play some new games.
Okay. Great. Cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up here. Thank you everyone for stopping by. If you like what you've heard, please consider kicking us a buck or whatever you can afford at patreon.com/heroespodcast. That'll help the show and network grow to do even cooler stuff. If you can't contribute financially, that's perfectly fine too. Just go ahead and like and share our stuff and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. If you have any questions or topics, or ideas or whatever, I'm just fucking up this read here and my phone's ringing. Hang on. Okay, great. We're just all over the place. We're on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod. Hit us up and let us know what you'd like to see on the show. We'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan. Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. If you're in the Kansas City area, or maybe even just passing through, be sure to check out at GG_Kansas_City or on Twitter, or GGKC on Facebook. We've got links to different gaming events and communities in the area, and they would absolutely love to have you be a part of them. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.